This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you. Thank you for joining me. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bible to the book of James, chapter 5, verse 1, where we left off last time. James, chapter 5, verse 1. James is Jacob in the Hebrew, and he's writing this letter to the 12 tribes which are scattered. Two called the house of Judah are in the land of Israel, with some of Judah in England, but the larger bulk of the 10 tribes is called the house of Israel, although they call themselves Gentiles, and that would be the United States of America. It's interesting about James, he's one of the earlier writers of the Bible there, because he was Jesus' half-brother. But his writing is a prophecy of these end times. So I thought that was kind of interesting. James' great message has been faith. Why is that? Because without faith it's impossible to please God, and the just shall live by faith. And that's the whole point. We have faith to believe. And if we don't believe, faith without works even is dead. So we live by faith. And so he's been telling us that count it all joy when you go into divers troubles. Some of you know what I mean. I know what I mean. And he said, what you do is you find wisdom. So you go to your sister wisdom, Proverbs calls wisdom, your sister, and you find what God's word says about your problem. And then he says, you believe the word and do not waver. If the word says one thing about your problem and somebody else that can be the king of the earth, if they say otherwise, ignore them and believe God's word. You say, but that's just so amazing. No, no, that's what you're supposed to do. We're just teaching Bible here. Remember, we're not supposed to be like the world. We're in it. We're not of the world. You don't find many Christians who dare to do that. Oh, you say, well, we didn't mean that. We just read the Bible and enjoy it, but we didn't know we're supposed to live it. So then he told us, he said, to resist the devil and he will flee from you. And he says, faith without works is dead. And he goes on, and tonight or today, whenever you're listening to this, he's going to tell us what is a Christian supposed to do when they get sick. The Bible is going to now tell all of you Christians what you're to do when sickness comes upon you. And I want you to see, if you ever hear those commercials or anybody in the world tell you to do this, okay? So now we begin with chapter 5, verse 1. There's just a little delay because of my...
Go to now, you rich men, weep and howl for the miseries that shall come upon you.
Okay, before he gets to the healing, he's talking to the church. And he's saying, your church is supposed to be a faith place of building up God's faith by building up God's word. But you have made it a house of dens. You have heaped together riches by wrong motivations. Now, sometimes God makes people rich so they can do his work. And I know that the money he gives me, every cent goes out to get God's word somewhere out there. And he knows that, so he will bless people to do that. But this is talking about ill-gotten gains. So you say, well, of course we know the world gets money by ill-gotten gains, but you don't. He's talking to the church. Yes, this is not to lost people. That would mean that you're in the ministry for money. You think that doesn't happen? Okay, did you know that Jesus told us in Mark 13 and also in Luke, he said, when he sent out the 2x2, he said, do not take a script. A script is Greek for a begging bag. I'm not sending you out beggars. You're going out and you're giving the word of God. And God says, I will take care of the rest. You sow the seed of God's word and God will make sure you get it. And so because of that, I have never passed a basket and never will. and it's just up to people if they want to give, and I don't talk about it. Now, is it right for people to give? Yes, you're instructed to bring your tithes into the storehouse and come generously. More generously are, the more generously you be blessed. But we don't beg. We're not there for that. That's where you trust God. But he says you built the ministries. You built these big ministries. And you get all of this money. And it's ill-gotten because those people go to those churches. They want to hear the words of eternal life. They want to hear what's going on in the world. Is this in the Bible? And all you tell them is that they're going to fly you away. The lie, fly proverb. And he said, and that's ill-gotten. You're pimping the word of God. You are giving them a lie for the truth. That's ill-gotten. Why would your riches be corrupted and your garments moth-eaten? Because you will have no clothes to wear. You'll be saved. Remember Revelation 19 says the righteousness of saints, righteous acts of saints, weaves the gown, the robe that you're going to wear for all eternity. And so therefore, if you think just because you're collecting money and preaching little books about the book, or one verse here and one verse there, or some kind of flyaway doctrine, that's going to weave you, no. The garment you're going to wear for all eternity is look like moths got in it. See?
Verse 3, your gold and silver is cankered.
The gold and silver is cankered. When we stand before the Lord, 1 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter 3. You can check me out on that one. It's in Corinthians. Paul tells us that all our works are going to pass through the fire machine. And they will be like gold and silver and brass and wood and hay and stubble. The gold and silver will last and be purer than ever. But the wood, hay, and stubble, blap. You'll be saved, but so is by fire. You'll be embarrassed. So we're going to find out by the last verse of this chapter, what is it that you could do that would give you that robe?
And the rest of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire.
In other words, they eat your lunch, some of the ministers do, by ripping you off, by telling you lies, and telling you things you want to hear. God wants to bless you, but God is not always saying to you. Someone said, can you get God to tell me who my mate is going to be? I suppose I could ask God, but I just can't go there. You know what I'm saying? How about, can I ask you to make God your mate? That would be better then. Then you'd have a good start.
Keep treasure together for the last days. Mm-hmm.
Treasures. So you put your treasures, but you use them there to expand your ministries, to be somebody. You're so proud to be on every station in the nation.
For behold, the laborers will reap down your fields.
Oh.
The hire of your laborers.
The hire of your laborers.
Which is by you kept back by fraud, crying. And the cries of them which have reaped are entered, hath entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabbath.
Now he's talking about laborers for hire, people who serve the Lord for money. In other words, they do this in the music industry. They do this in the video industry. Scott Merson has a beautiful gift of taking supernatural pictures. You see angels and demons and scrolls. And one thing I've noticed about him, God sent him here and we work together. Scott will not pimp that. He will not take it somewhere. He could get a lot of attention. He could set it up in a theater section, but he doesn't do that. And I'm the same way. I've never sold my talents. I've never sold my gifts. In other words, we're not supposed to do that. And all of this is coming up in the ears of God, that hirelings, Jesus says, in other words, wolves in sheep clothing in your pulpit, and they're a hireling. They're doing it for the money. And I can assure you, when Antichrist comes, you're not going to be able to find them to help you out. What about the cries? That would be the few elect who are crying and shouting out to God in prayer to awaken the body of Christ to come out of the worldliness, to come out of the lust, to come back in faith to the Lord Jesus, to the Word of God, and be what the church is supposed to be, which basically is to tell the story of Jesus and win souls into the kingdom. Do you know that cry? We study Psalms. When you pray, especially when it's intense, it should be almost a cry. When the Holy Spirit intercedes for you with groanings which cannot be uttered, it's like a warrior's cry. Haven't you seen those movies where the Indians say, ha! Okay? And that's the way it is. In other words, we do the cry out to God. God has heard our prayers. We've been praying over here for America, America, and finally God answered, and we've seen things turn around. It'll turn around in your life. You want to be a prayer. You want to learn how to pray. That's the next best thing to give in the Word of God. Know the Word of God. Pray the Word of God, and you'll be dynamite.
Amen.
Okay, there was a little glitch between 4 and 5. There we go.
Pleasure on the earth and been wanting.
You live in pleasure. There you are in the ministry. You get to have all these props. You get nice vacations and credit cards and clothes and fame and fortune. Everybody's slobbering all over you and good food. But there's something missing because you've lost your calling. You've lost your way. There was a time you knew, sir, ma'am. There was a time you knew God's hand was on you. But you sold it out for money. No wonder you're miserable. All of the nice plush hotels and all the trips and the plush airplanes just don't bring that peace. The richest you are, you could be in a pub tent to be in the will of God. That's rich.
We have nourished your hearts as in the days of slaughter.
The day of slaughter, in other words, is coming close to the end time. He's talking about the battle of Haman Gog and Armageddon. In other words, that you need to be telling the church about these battles that are coming up. You need to tell them that Antichrist is about to come and that these days of slaughter are coming up. Not of you, but a slaughter in the church, not physical flesh. But see, you slaughter people when you don't tell them the truth. When you lead people, because of omission of the truth, to worship the devil, which is the Antichrist, with his devil with his Jesus costume on, you have slaughtered them eternally.
Six, ye have condemned and killed the just, and he that resists you. Seven, be patient, therefore, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth.
Okay, so he says, be patient, even though you're having trouble. Keep the faith. Don't get discouraged. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Remember, Satan, Antichrist time has been shortened. Revelation 9 says to 5 months, and even that is possibly cut in 2.5 because the two witnesses are going to be here and some other things happen, but 5 months at the most, so you could stand that. Then Jesus comes. So James, so long ago, the beginning of the church, says, I've got a message for those of you just before the second coming. He really is coming again.
And have long patience for it.
Okay, in Bible times they had the former rain and the latter rain. The former rain, you would plant the little seed in the ground, and the former rain would moisturize it to get the little embryo growing, and little plant would shoot up through the soil, be just a little plant. But then they needed the latter rain because that would make that plant just grow way up there tall and bear much fruit. So he's about to say to you that Jesus' first coming, born of the Virgin Mary, with no sin, dying on a cross, shedding his blood for the remission of sin, and being arisen from the dead, that is the former rain. But he said, we've got to have the latter rain. And that will be when the Lord Jesus Christ returns at the last trump out. 1 Corinthians 15:55, at the last trump. We shall all change in a moment of twinkling eye. The last. What's that? 7. Okay. And then, now, you as an elect, and this is why you're hearing this, you're very important in causing and helping that latter rain to fall, because you're to tell the story, what I've just said, you're to tell, and you're to bring them in and warn and caution. Let people know they're in the fifth trump, that the reason they're so upset is because that the Savior's on his way.
Till he received the early and latter rain. 8. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh.
Just set your face like a flint. He's coming, and stand steady.
9. Grudge not one against another.
There goes James. He said, don't gripe. Grudge means gripe. Don't gripe. No griping. You remember James talked about last week and said, don't waste your time hating each other. Your enemy is not you. You're fighting yourself. Your enemy is the devil, the principalities and powers of the air. Right. And he tries to get you to turn on each other and griping about somebody's hairdo or somebody's clothes or somebody prays too long or sings too long or whatever, you know. Nah, forget it. Don't gripe. God doesn't like grumbling. He doesn't like griping. I can't help what I go through. I refuse to grumble.
Brethren, lest ye be condemned, behold, the judge standeth before the door.
That's like the Song of Solomon we just finished. He's standing at the door. He's just that close. Here comes the judge.
10. Take, my brethren, the prophet which has spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering.
Take Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a man of God, and he walked up and down the earth and warned the house of Judah they're going to be captured by Nebuchadnezzar and go into captivity to Babylon 70 years. The church folks, the Pharisees, they did not want this to happen, so they tried to kill him. They picked him up and put him in a sewer up to his neck. And I mean, this looked bad. That's suffering. You're getting a sore up to your neck. And of course, he would have died down there. God had plan B. Obed-Elam came along, got a rope, and threw some claws down there for Jeremiah to put him under his arms so the rope would not hurt him. And he pulled him up. And how about Paul? 5 times beaten with 40 stripes. 1. All who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution.
And patience. 11.
The patience of Job. Job just minding his own business, loving God. And Satan says, God, if you take that wall, that shamar in the Hebrew word, around from him, and I let me at him and get his skin, he said, touch him in his body, I bet you he'd curse you then. I can make his body so miserable he's not going to keep serving you. God said, no, my service, Job, no matter what happens, he will stay with me. So the devil let Job have it. And Job said, though you slay me, I will serve you. Many times I've lifted up my hand and said, Father, in Jesus' name, though you slay me, I will serve you. For I love you and I am trusting you. Can you do that? Well, did you know? Now, he's going to say about things to come.
Behold, we count them happy which endure.
He that endureth to the end shall be saved, because you didn't fall off to the Antichrist. You waited for Jesus.
Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord.
The end was that God restored Job twice as much as he had before. Then came to him all of his brothers and sisters and acquaintances that had known him before and comforted him over all the Lord had done to him. Every man gave him a piece of money and everyone an earring of gold. And the latter end of Job was greater than the former. And in all the land of Israel, there were no women fair, so fair as the daughters of Job.
That the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy.
God is compassion. It's always a sign of an elect. You'll see that compassion.
12. But of all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven nor by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay, nay.
Okay, what this means is, see, if you believe in someone, you'll say, I can swear that that person is going to stand by me. You know what I'm saying? That's what it means. In other words, don't put your confidence in anything, any place, or any condition, any doctor, lawyer, or Indian chief. Put your confidence in God. Go back to the wisdom, your sister. Find what the Bible says about your issue and swear by that. And so when you swear by God's word, you can swear by none other. In other words, James pulls you right back into the faith. It is the word of God. Do you see why so few Christians know the word of God, much less apply the word of God? Why you don't even know, you don't go where you find the word of God, and yet that's the one tool that will get you straightly through out of this foolish, silly world.
Amen. Lest you fall into condemnation. 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. 14. Is any sick among you?
Let him call the elders of the church.
And let them pray over him,
anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord.
15.
And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up.
And
if there be any sins,
they shall be forgiven. 16. Confess your faults
one to another.
And pray for one another.
That you may be healed.
The effectual,
fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. This is God's instruction. If you're sick, call for the elders of the church. There are not many of them. It's not talking about age. Someone mature in God's word, and they must have the anointing. So you might just can find one person sometimes. Anointing with oil, that's olive oil. It's all in the Bible. It's symbolic of the Holy Spirit. It has two names of God in the Hebrew in it, Eliyah and Jesus Christ. Christ means the anointed one. So right there, you have put the rubbing oil into them, because the anointing, when the Lord anoints me as I am anointed now, he has painted himself on me, and you're doing that. That's what it told you to do. Then he says the prayer of faith. You pray for the person. Now listen to this. Then your work is finished. Put your hands on the person, because if you're anointed, that energy will keep flowing there. Many times you'll feel the fire, so you want it to go from God through you like a conduit into the person for whom you're praying. The Lord shall raise them up. You do not push. You do not strive. You let the Lord then do his work. And this is where, that's where the point is there. We feel that we've got to do it. No, he said he would. So you ask him to, and you thank him for it. Is that beautiful to know?
Yes.
Pray one for another that you may be healed. Anything you do for another, God will give it to you. The effectual fervent prayer, effectual non-ceasing, in other words, bulldog tenacity, shameless perseverance, and fervent is white hot in the spirit. So I want you to stop being so pretty in your prayers and so organized. I love you. I used to be an English teacher. I love beautiful words and literature. But I want you to learn to cry and shout. I want some spirit. I don't mean fake emotion. I mean the spirit of fire. The fire gets the shuttle up, right?
Yep.
17. Elias was a man like, subject unto like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain.
That's Elijah the prophet.
And it rained not on the earth for the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain.
Now, you see, Elijah the prophet, he has an anointing. John the Baptist has the spirit of Elijah. The two witnesses of whom you're going to come aware of, they're probably already here, have the anointing. So the anointed one can pray and stop the bad weather. In other words, hurricanes, stop in the name of Jesus. God makes the storm a calm. Now, I know this seems radical, but if Christians really lived by the Bible, the world would stand up and look at us. But see, when you waver, you don't get either one. You're just running around the mulberry bush like everybody else. Now, we're not called to do that. We're not called to confusion.
The earth brought forth her fruit. 19. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth.
Okay, James closes his letter. Listen, any of you tribes, any of you Christians scattered, if you get away from the truth, the mystery of God, the three earth ages, the seduction in the garden, the fallen angels, the order of the trumps, all of these wonderful, beautiful doctrines and teachings in the world, if you get away from that and you grow cold and you go to the world and you get wrapped up in stuff,
and one convert him,
and some of you go back and convert that person, in other words, you bring them back, they've fallen off the cliff. I can't tell you how many times I've seen one of my little sheep, oh my God, they're going off the cliff again. Run and catch them there. In other words, this is what you're supposed to do. If you will bring someone into the Lord who's gone astray or lost or has denied Christ, has forsaken the truth, if you would do this,
verse 20, let him know that he was converting the sinner from the error of his way, shall save the soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sin.
Now he wraps up all of the faith and going to the Bible to find the wisdom and the word of God with living this word to what purpose just before Jesus comes? Your purpose is to convert sinners from the error of their way so that you save them from death, whose name is the devil, and their sins be forgiven. We are not the Savior, but we have the Lord's Spirit. We have the Lord's Word. That's that wisdom. That's that Bible. And so we see the lost and we go and we witness. So now you have a mandate. Every Christian on the sound of my voice, that's what you're supposed to do. James wraps it up. All of the reason for faith was that you'll go out and win souls to Jesus. Win souls to Jesus. Win souls to Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. This beautiful book, you'll want to visit James a lot. Don't leave this book alone. Don't put it on the bookshelf. Read it a lot. Because remember that James told us to count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, for so persecuted they the prophets which are before you. And he said, when you've got your troubles, go to wisdom. Wisdom is the word of God. Find out what God says about your problem. That's not just a pretty word for you to say, and you say, yes, but you know the world says that. If you do that, you have wavered and you don't get your answer. Some of you waver just a little, so you get half an answer. And so we're not half people. We're whole people. He makes us whole. And then he says, faith without works is dead. You're like a dead branch. And he says, the just shall live by faith. And he says, resist the devil, and the devil will flee from you. And then he says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have forgiven, committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another. Pray ye one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Ooh, prayer power. If you could ever get it, you would dedicate your life to prayer. And then he concludes, and all of that about faith, even faith in the healing, all of that, so you will be equipped to go and bring a brother or sister who's on his way to the lake of fire. You pull them out of the fire, and you bring them back home to God. the book of James. I hope you were blessed. Next week, unless the Holy Spirit gives me another nudge, we'll begin the book of 1 Peter. Should just be great, 1 Peter. Right now it's time for Mystery Moment. Questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of God. I want to introduce to you the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very good, Ms. Sherry. That was great. That was a great chapter, wasn't it?
Beautiful chapter.
A beautiful book. Okay, our first question. Does Iran point to end time prophecy?
Oh, yes, Iran is very end time prophecy. See, even what's going on is end time. Iran today is Mount Seir in the Bible in Ezekiel 38 and 39. And Russia today is Edom in the Bible. Esau is Edom, is Russia. We're told that Mount Seir is going to join Edom. Iran's going to join Russia and come against Jacob, the 10 tribes of the house of Israel in America. Very prophetic. And wasn't that interesting, Scott, that this week that we had that attack? You want to tell us about
that? Yeah, I just wanted to be a witness to this. You know, some of these questions come through you, and this one question came through you, and this question was written 2 days before Iran attacked Israel out of Syria.
That's right.
Yeah, so it was very prophetic.
That's
very
right.
Prophetic
and
question.
See, when they, right there, they attack Jerusalem. When the enemy's all against Jerusalem and America, then you know the end is near.
Yeah.
That's right. People do ask me questions, and sometimes I'm very specific. Sometimes I edge it just a little bit to help you so I can teach you things.
Yeah,
got another question?
Awesome. Yeah, our next question. Will Antichrist be cutting off our heads?
Oh, no. He wants you to love him. He's coming in. Peace and safety cause craft to prosper. A great big revival in the Christian church by half of the body of Christ is going to be deceived. Five are wise and five are foolish. And the ones that are deceived are going to think those of us who are elect are pagan because we won't worship the Antichrist. No, if he would cut your heads off, you would know he was the devil with his Jesus costume on. No, he's going to pretend to be the Savior. He will call himself Jesus. He's coming to pretend to fly you away. He will say Savior. Remember, Jesus' last name is Christ, Messiah. So he would call himself the Messiah, but he's not.
Yeah. And then our last question. David.
Yeah, okay, David. David left his stuff in the car. Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
Okay, this aligns perfect with that healing scripture in chapter 5 that we just heard. Don't try to get your healing. God has already given it to you. Don't try to believe. You are a believer, and all things are yours. Don't talk doubt. It breeds more doubt.
That is so beautiful. That is so beautiful. You know, I might add, thank you, Scott.
You're welcome.
I might add, to help some of you trying so hard, don't try to have faith. Gotta have faith. He gave you faith. He gave every one of us a measure of faith. Just start taking one scripture and believe it. How about one scripture at a time? Can you believe that?
Yes.
And eventually you'd see he'll help you build it up. He'll help you build it up. It's just like I pray for the sick. It's the Lord's responsibility to heal. He flows through me. I'm like the pill that the doctor gives you there. But he's the one that does it, so you have to know that. I'm going to pray for the sick, but first of all, I want to pray for anyone who's lost to be saved. Please pray this after me and mean it. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I ask the Lord to forgive my sins.
I ask the Lord to forgive my sins.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Baptize me with the Holy Spirit.
Baptize me with the Holy Spirit.
Lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your truth.
Grow me in your truth.
And help me to win many souls to Jesus.
And help me to win many souls to Jesus.
Let me be a blessing to you, Lord.
Let me be a blessing to you, Lord.
And to everyone I meet.
And to everyone I meet.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, you might like to call me. My announcer will give you my telephone number in a few minutes, so call and leave that on my machine. For those of you who are sick, Father, in the name and the power of Jesus Christ, I ask, O Son of Righteousness, that you will rise with healing in your wings, laser beams into absolute polyps in Jesus' name, and disintegrate the polyps and these growths on brains and hearts, the heart, that where the heart has got the weak part, build up that heart and let it beat with the breath of God, the pound, the timing of God, and the kidneys to operate in Jesus' mighty name, and the pancreas be healed in Jesus' mighty name. Oh, hallelujah, from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. He sent his word and healed you. With Jesus' stripes, you are healed. Believe and receive in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. We give you glory. Now, if you were healed, you might want to call me also. Sundays, we're over here at 5 p.m. All of you are welcome to come. Wednesdays, 6 p.m. Thursdays, we open from 12 until 2. Scott and I are here to pray for you. Don't forget the radio is WMIEFM.com on demand. Tons and tons of books of the Bible on there. You can have a God school course there and tell people about it. And so it'd be a blessing to you. I love you. Now remember this about Jesus. His name is called the Word of God. And Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is true. Now you got your marching orders. James summed up this whole thing. Go and convert a sinner from their sin. You save a soul from death, and you hide a multitude of sins, their sins. And God will be so proud of you. So until next time, this is Sherry Medlock and my twin friend Scott Merson saying we love you, God bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make his face to shine upon you, and the Lord give you joy unspeakable and full of glory. So remember, go and blow the trumpet of truth.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
Who've had enough, to all the undeserving, that should cover all of us. Please do not let go. I promise there is hope. doesn't ever pass. Can we stop this ride? Will we see the sun at last? Or could this be our light in life? Please do not let go. I promise you this.
He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Hear the sound? On WMIE 91.5 FM. When the mountains
turned into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. None like you. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. None like you. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God. Into the darkness you shine.
My world is closing in on the inside, but I'm not showing it. When all I am is crying out, I hold it in and fake a smile. Still I'm broken, I'm broken. Well, only one could understand and only one could hold the hand of the broken, of the broken. Knows how I feel. You're